Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about blood and the Red Cross this morning. We have been talking and you have heard a lot about the need for blood. Alexis Innes with the local American Red Cross with us this morning. Alexis, it's good to have you here. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you? Thank you for having me on this morning.
It is good to have you on. It seems like a long time since we've seen each other. Earlier in the year, you were in studio and we did a blood show, not knowing, having any idea that we would be in the situation that we're in now. But boy, with everything going on, the need for blood continues.
Absolutely. You know, fortunately, I guess I can say, because of COVID, we don't have a lot of our elective surgeries happening right now. So the first wave that kind of happened, we had a huge blood loss. And, you know, there was a lot of recovering, trying to make sure that we were providing that blood on the shelf. But as things have kind of tempered down a little bit, we've been able to maintain our blood supply, thankfully. We have some great partners in the community that have stepped up, offering their spaces. A lot of our mobile drives that we have on our buses, we've had to remove from service. You know, they don't offer the social distancing that's really required to provide a safe place for our volunteers and our donors and our staff to donate blood. So we've had to replace a lot of those drives with our inside drives, and we've had some great folks in the community, and everybody's been really great. You know, people are patient while waiting to donate blood, which I really appreciate, and people are still coming out to donate for us. So I'm just really appreciative to our community, to our volunteers, our staff. Everybody's been really great and has been very helpful. And, you know, they know that there's a need and they're rolling up their sleeves and ready to donate. So I'm really grateful for that.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought, Alexis, about the fact that I'm sure that the whole setup that you have, that the Red Cross has had, and as long as I can remember, just how it's set up, or even just using the buses, that all has to get changed in just some of the things that we might not have thought about. I mean, you always dealt with cleanliness and keeping things safe, but just with the social distancing, that's something that we've all had to do, and the Red Cross has as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think that was one of the things that made my heart palpitate a little bit in my job, when they were telling me that, you know, we had to take our buses off and what am I going to replace it with, and who am I going to partner with, who's going to have the space, and will they be willing to open up to the public, you know, to allow. And when I say public, I mean our healthy donor population. I think that was a huge, you know, educational piece to kind of overcome with a lot of our sites. You know, it struck so much fear, you know, so much fear of the unknown, so much fear about, well, who am I letting into my church, or who am I letting into this space, or who am I, you know, who's coming in here? And luckily, you know, we have a lot of folks who stepped up and said, no, you know, we know that there's a need. We know that you're going to do things in a safe manner. And we've definitely had to change a lot of our processes and things to continue to ensure that everybody is safe. So we have moved all of our bus, you know, bus drives to inside drives. We are currently have on the calendar places that have at least 1,500 square feet or larger to provide enough safe distancing between folks who are waiting and between all of the processes, making sure all of our beds are at least 6 feet apart. We're requiring our donors to wear masks now, which has evolved and changed. We didn't require it at first, and now we're to the point where we're requiring it. All of our staff, of course, are wearing masks and gloves. We're doing temperature checks at the beginning of the drive to ensure that all of our donors who are presenting are within our parameters. The temperature that we're checking for is 99.6. If you're 99.6 or higher, you will not be able to participate. And that's our normal temperature that we ask for our healthy donors anyways. But I think just having more attention drawn to it because of the COVID stuff, when you're at 99.6, you're starting to cook something. You might be starting to, you know, get a little bit sick maybe before you even show symptoms. And so that's always our cutoff. And so we're making sure to check folks before they even come into the drive site to make sure that they meet those temperature requirements, and then making sure that we provide, you know, hand sanitizer, things like that for our donors throughout the process to keep everybody safe too.
Well, that should put a lot of people at ease that when they are coming, like you said, when they are coming, they don't have to worry, or whoever has opened up the space doesn't have to worry that you've got a lot of things in place to try to catch things.
Yeah, that's our goal, is to just make sure that folks know that this is a safe place for, you know, that we're providing. This is not, we're not having a party. I mean, as much as I love parties and cake and everything, sharing stuff, we're not doing any of those things. We're just providing a safe, you know, place that people know that has been cleaned, that we will be, you know, leaving it the way that we found it. We will be making sure that all of our donors and volunteers, if a donor presents and they don't have a mask, we provide masks for them. So, you know, we're doing our due diligence to make sure that this is a safe place. We want to keep our blood supply safe, and we want to make sure that the folks that are on the front lines are staying safe as well.
In this area, are you still looking for other places? If people have places that they'd like to open up, or are you still entertaining other spaces, or do you need other spots around the area, Alexis?
Yeah, we have a few that we already have booked. We're going to be opening up a few more bookings through May, but we're looking for some more partners through the summer. We're kind of rolling our calendar through as things change, and we're moving those bus drives off the calendar through June and July. So if there are folks who want to partner with us, who want to offer a safe place for folks to come and donate, we would love to have them reach out to us. You can simply fill out one of those interest forms on the website at redcrossblood.org, and the information will get sent to me, and I can contact you and hook up with you and take a look and make sure that the space is appropriate for our blood drives.
But when you mentioned how things change, that it does. It's you know, it changes day to day, week to week, for sure. And that, I'm sure, provides, and there's a lot of challenges for you trying to keep up with all of this.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I can't even speak to the amount of changes that have happened. I mean, it can change literally hour to hour, you know, depending on, you know, what is getting mandated down from the state level, from the national level. So we are staying on top of everything and just making sure that we are adjusting accordingly, and that we're, you know, making sure that those things happen to continue to provide blood for our patients. You know, there's still, even in this, you know, environment, I know I've heard about a lot of anxiety about patients not wanting to go to the hospital, right? Like, unless I have COVID, I don't even want to go, because I don't want to distract from, you know, their mission. And, you know, I'm not that sick. I can't be that bad, you know, but I want people to know that, you know, blood is still going to be there. So if you have a need for blood, whether it be a traumatic accident, whether it be, you know, you're still receiving cancer treatments and things, and you still need blood transfusions, you know, we're making sure that that blood is still on the shelf so that you can still get that, you know, service should you need it. So I hope that folks understand that and realize that there's still some people out there that don't have a choice. They have to go to the hospital. They have to get that blood transfusion to live. And we're appreciative to all of the donors who come out and support us in that mission.
We are talking Red Cross blood this morning, and the need for blood, and how you can get involved. We've all already talked about just the need for space, and we will continue to talk about things, how you can get involved with the blood situation in the region. Alexis Innes with us this morning with the local American Red Cross. We need to take a break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking American Red Cross blood services this morning. Alexis Innes is here this morning. She's with the local American Red Cross. Alexis, I just saw this on the website, looking at it this morning, the convalescent plasma program. That looks like it's new, and talk about that. What is it?
So So the convalescent blood program is designed for folks who have recovered from COVID-19. It's a way for us to provide plasma and antibodies to folks who are battling COVID in the hospital. You have to meet our regular eligibility requirements to donate blood. In addition to, we are looking for you to be healthy currently, right? Like you've recovered from COVID-19. There's a place on the website for you to go, redcrossblood.org/plasma4COVID. You fill out that interest form, and then you can be contacted by a Red Cross representative to set up an appointment to come in and donate your plasma.
What a great program. I mean, if you're looking for something that in the short term, and as we all, you know, wait for a vaccine or something that will help us, this is something that can provide, I guess, a little bit of help, a little bit of hope.
Absolutely. I think that a part of, you know, this terrible disease is how devastating it can be. And I know that being on a ventilator is not ideal as a way to recover. But this plasma program is showing a lot of promise. And I'm excited that the Red Cross is, you know, joining with other blood services to, you know, provide the service for our patients in the meantime while we wait for a vaccine to be developed. I think it's a great way to reengage our folks, you know, in the community that are wanting to do something. I mean, it must feel, I already know our donors already experience a lot of, you know, that feeling. You know, a lot of our donors who are coming to donate blood with us have someone sick or know someone who's needed blood, and they know that feeling of being in the hospital and, you know, giving it over to the doctors and the nurses and just waiting and feeling like, I wish there was something that I could do to make a difference, you know, for my mom or for my grandma or for, you know, someone who's battling, you know, this disease that they need this blood transfusion for. And this is another great way that we can give folks who are recovering or who have recovered from COVID-19 a way to give back and a way to help other patients who are also in similar circumstances to be able to donate their plasma and save a life and help somebody who's really, really sick.
So does a person make an appointment to come in and when they give plasma, does that take longer than when you come to give blood?
Those are great questions. So the way that we're collecting the plasma is by a process called apheresis. Any of my donors who donate Power Reds or already are plasma or platelet donors are already familiar with this process. It is a machine that we hook you up to, and apheresis means to separate. So we're going to, right at the machine, separate your blood and your plasma and collect what we want, and then make sure you get everything back plus a little bit of extra fluid to make you feel a little bit better. So we collect the plasma right there at the machine, so you have I just believe the needle is about the same size as a regular whole blood donation. And then we take that plasma and it's ready. Once the testing and everything is ready to go, like it's ready to go. We don't have to do a whole lot of processing with it once we collect it. So the process is slightly different. Because of that, it definitely requires an appointment. In order to get that appointment, you have to fill out the interest form online to let folks know that you're letting us know, you're indicating, hey, I'm an eligible donor, I want to donate my plasma, and then one of our representatives will contact you back and set up an appointment at either a center or a local drive that we can collect your plasma.
What a great thing, though, to be able to be involved in, Alexis. I mean, you always feel good after you've given blood. You feel good. But to be involved in something like this and something that's so needed at this time, I can't imagine. I mean, I think you would just be... If you can do it, this would be just really an exciting thing.
Yeah, I've actually, it's weird that we're having this conversation and that this information has just come out, because I've had a couple of conversations with folks recently who, you know, they're asking for, how can I help? You know, what can I do to help? And, you know, I've been telling them, you know, well, talk to your folks about, you know, is there a church or something, you know, that you can host a blood drive, right? And then now I can say, hey, if you know folks or if people have recovered from COVID-19, reach out to us and let us know, and we can possibly use your plasma as a way to help our patients, I think that gives folks a lot of hope and a lot of help in getting that feeling, that relief that I can do something. I don't have to just sit on my couch and eat a bunch of potato chips and gain 5 pounds through this whole thing, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it's called the Convalescent Plasma Program. You've to be part of this, you had to have had COVID-19. But what a great, like you say, because I think we're all are looking for ways to help. And up until now, one of the ways was to give blood. But this is really another option. And boy, you're helping out, and you're giving hope to some other families through this.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I've heard stories on the news about patients who have received this plasma. I mean, it's making a big difference. People are actually able to recover from this. I don't know that it's, you know, the miracle or anything like that. I'm not trying to speak out of turn or anything, but I'm very pleased. I mean, this is sort of like a quote unquote old fashioned way before vaccines, you know, that we can utilize that technology and really help our patients and get them better.
Alexis Innes here with the American Red Cross. She's with the American Red Cross Blood Services on News Talk 1230 WFVA this morning. At the beginning of this, we had heard that there really was a desperate need for blood. I have heard from other people that have signed up that it seems like a lot of people are giving as they've gone on and looked online. They've said it's, you know, they've made appointments, but it's you know, even a month or so from now. So it seems like people got the message, and a lot of people have been giving blood.
Absolutely, yeah. I think what's because of our social distancing requirements that we're asking from our sites and our donors and everybody. We are going to an appointment-only model. So at the beginning, we were saying, hey, anybody who's eligible, come. We accept walk-ins. But we've changed our language to make sure that we are not overwhelming the blood drive, that we don't have a lot of people waiting, you know, crowds gathering, things like that. So we're going to an appointment-only model. Definitely the best resource is our website, redcrossblood.org. At the top of that page in the little red box, you can put in your zip code or you can put in a sponsor code and find your local blood drives that way. You can also download the app, and through the same process by putting in your zip code, you can find our blood drives there and easily make an appointment through the app as well. We're definitely going to an appointment-only model, so it's important that folks are continuing to look those drives up on the website. Yep. When we have openings.
Yeah, do it before. Don't just this isn't like in the past where you could just walk in and get and you know they'll work you in. So that is an important thing to realize. And boy, around here anyway, it seems like the Fredericksburg area, there are a lot of options. There are a lot of blood drives right now.
Yeah, we have a bunch of that have popped up for May that we've had some great partners with. We are always at the Spotsylvania Mall. I know that one filled up very quickly. People know that we're there, so that one gets very full. But you can always look for additional appointments as those pop up at that site. We also have partnered with Life Point Church. That's over in Central Park. That has opened up 3 days for their blood drive there. We have opened... we've got Fairview Baptist Church, who's opened their doors for us. Great partnership there that they're coming up. We have my territory includes a little bit of Louisa County as well, so we have a drive out in Louisa. So we've got a few drives that are popping up that folks have, you know, reached out and are offering up their space, and we're real appreciative and thankful that we're able to, you know, continue to provide safe places for people to come and donate blood.
Well, and I guess one of the things you kind of hope, Alexis, because we talk all the time, and there's always a need for blood. Maybe something like this will get people into a routine of giving and understanding that giving blood isn't that big a deal, but it makes such a big deal.
Absolutely. You know, in our particular Fredericksburg area, in our region, we transfuse 350 pints of blood every single day. Now, because we don't have our elective surgeries going on right now, that need has decreased slightly, but we're a national organization. And, you know, as these orders, you know, from national level, from the state level roll out, we might not just be providing blood just to our region now. You know, we might have to swing some of our blood, you know, down to the Carolinas or over to Kentucky or even to Texas or wherever it's needed. So knowing that we have folks who are in our area who are still coming out and providing that blood is awesome and fantastic. If it's not going directly to our hospital to our patients need it, it's going to wherever it is needed. I mean, that's the one nice thing about being at the national level, at the National Blood Bank. We are providing blood not just for our local folks, but to all of our other hospitals who maybe they've been really hit hard and they don't have, you know, a lot of resources because they're so focused on COVID, but they still need blood. So we're making sure that those folks that need it still get it.
RedCrossBlood.org. Alexis Innes here with the local Red Cross. Much more to talk about. Sleeves up. We'll talk about that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's coming up on 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Alexis Innes here this morning with the American Red Cross Blood Services. Boy, Alexis, one of the things, I mean, you're going to have a lot of stories to tell. I mean, someday your kids and your grandchildren are going to be able to hear how you were involved in something like this. And really, I mean, you're one of the people on the front lines in dealing with this. And this is, I mean, we're every day we're living through history.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all the time about the folks that we come and invite out to our events, you know, the nurses' uniforms and the military uniforms and folks that people wore, you know, during World War II and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what would be my uniform? How would I represent this time period? You know, if I were going to go out and talk about, you know, this pandemic and this experience, you know, what is that going to look like? You know, I'm just going to have like a little television screen, I guess, around my face with a little mask on it, right? Like I'm talking on a Zoom or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm just
yeah,
talking through my mask about, you know, these things and doing the social distancing and stuff, you know? So it's interesting. I mean, I think that, you know, some people had anticipated things like this, but I'm really proud of our organization and I'm really proud of our folks on the front line. The response has been incredible, you know, even in these tough times, even in these uncertain times, you know, our team, our internal team, our staff, you know, our collection staff who are out there collecting the blood, you know, the recruitment team, everybody is really banded together and, you know, with the singular mission of, hey, we still have a mission. You know, the mission hasn't really changed. The maybe the amounts change, it goes back and forth, but the mission is still to make sure that anybody who needs blood has it. There's no synthetic blood available. You know, there's no mine that I can go and dig. You know, I can't go in my backyard and just do, you know, plant a couple of bulbs and have some blood bags pop up, you know, in the spring. This is only able, I'm only able to get this particular thing from other donors, from other people. And to know that, you know, we rely on folks and every time we ask, they step up and they're there through everything is incredible. And I just want to thank our donors who have come out. I want to thank all of our sponsors who have, you know, offered up space or changed their spaces to accommodate us. Without their help, we would not be able to ensure that these very, very sick people that are still in the hospital who need blood have it. And I just want to, you know, just give a shout out to all of those folks and say thank you very much for your time, for your patience, for working with us through everything. This is new for us as well. You know, we are constantly juggling and changing and making adjustments and everything. And through it all, everybody's been wonderful. So thank you so much for your continued commitment to our blood programs, for your continued commitment to our mission to save lives. I really appreciate it.
And when you think about it, Alexis, the Red Cross is just one of the more nimble organizations that I can think of, because whether it's dealing with a pandemic in blood or, you know, a hurricane hits an area or, you know, you name it, the Red Cross is there. And in so many cases, you're having to do this kind of just kind of think on the fly and make it work. And the Red Cross does that and continues to. And you have here as well.
Yeah, and it gets you very agile. Like, you know, I thought I was flexible before, but stretching through this, you know, with the constant changes. I mean, when we first started this, we had we did a little video, you know, at the beginning of March, right? It was the pickles, you know, started to come through about what was going on, and I think it was before schools had closed. We hadn't gotten to that point yet, and I mean, that was what, 8 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And even through 8 weeks, I every week, every day, every hour has a new update, a new change, a new challenge that we have to figure out. Okay, well, how can we still meet our mission? We still have to get our blood supplies to our hospitals. How can we adjust and flex? And I'm proud of our team. You know, I'm proud of the folks who are able to work through and do this stuff. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. It is not an easy job, and but the cooperation of our community has made it very delightful. You know, that's a strange word to hear in times like this, but you know, who knew that the way to fight through this pandemic was through love and compassion and support. You know, that is definitely what I have seen and experienced. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for it.
Well, you mentioned a few minutes ago about the fact that, you collect blood because you have to have it. There's no substitute for it. You need to have this. And that's why, because a lot of times we've talked before about how, sometimes people, you're always asking for blood. We were always asking for blood because there's such a need, and because blood is just, it's just with all the technology we have, we still haven't, we don't have anything quite as good as blood.
And it's amazing to me to see that these scientists, you know, there's reports coming out, you know, they're developing this vaccine. You know, we've only had in the United States at least, you know, what, maybe 4 months, 6 months worth of information and data exposure. And yet we might be looking at getting, you know, a vaccine maybe by the fall, maybe at least in another year.
Mm-hmm.
There's no substitute for blood. I mean, I know that the scientists have been working on, you know, strategies. I know that the military especially has, you know, programs where they try to, you know, help save lives in the field, you know, so there's been, you know, programs for that and information about that. But, you know, in all of the history of the, you know, when we first identified, you know, blood groups and blood typing and how to transfuse blood, we have not been able to synthetically make blood. So the only way that we can get it still, even now, 100 years later, is still by having our healthy donors come out, roll up their sleeves, and donate a pint of blood for our patients.
Wow, that is. I never even thought of it in those terms, but you're right. And especially in these terms, as you know, as like you say, they work and are working to get a vaccine, and likely will have one soon. You still haven't, with all these years, you still haven't. Alexis Innes here with the American Red Cross Blood Services. The Sleeves Up program is a fantastic program that you have, and it really is a way that you can give blood with your family or friends no matter where they're at.
Yeah, I mean, in this time where we're doing a lot of teleworking and virtual, you know, sort of, you know, experiences where we're having team meetings virtually, we're doing all these things, you can donate blood virtually. And I know already in your mind, you're already thinking, so wait, I'm going to have a video of me donating, and then there's going to be another video of somebody else donating. I don't know about all that. That's not exactly what Sleeves Up is. But Sleeves Up is a virtual blood drive that you can create through our website, redcrossblood.org. So you can connect with your coworkers, with your family members who are, you know, spread out all over, and sort of just have like a group of folks that you are communicating with, that you're, you know, giving pats on the back, and everybody can, in their areas, make an appointment to come and donate blood, and then you can kind of see everybody's progress as they're donating for this virtual, you know, blood drive, to try to get everybody motivated and remind folks, hey, you know, even though we're not together at our workplace, or not together at our church, or not together at our school, we can still be together virtually and help with this mission of making sure that there's blood on the shelf when it's needed.
I never thought of the fact, because we've talked about Sleeves Up over the last year or so about what a great program that is. But now, especially with everything being so virtual, this is now, I mean, you were ahead of your time with this. I mean, this was groundbreaking.
Yeah. And I think it was developed more for, like, I think most people use it in sort of like a national way. So, you know, if there was like a national, like a Target, or like a national organization, you know, a tire company, something, you know, they had employees all over. It was sort of like a top-down sort of a thing. But now it's sort of evolved and become something else, because we want ways to connect with our people. You know, my parents, you know, they live only maybe 20 minutes away from me, and I still can't see them, you know, very often. The only way I can see them is, you know, maybe if they come do a little window drive-by, or if we, you know, do like a FaceTime or something like that with the kids. So now I have a way to connect with them, even though, you know, we're not that far away distance-wise, to, you know, hey, let's do a family blood drive. You know, we're going to do an Innis family blood drive, and I'm going to set up, you know, the website, and I'm going to send it out to all my folks. And, you know, wherever we are, whether we're here 20 minutes away from each other, or whether we're, you know, states away from each other, we can join this thing together and feel like we're doing something really good for our community, in our communities, and donate blood.
No, it is a great, great idea. Is it, you can still donate blood, is it every 56 days?
Every 56 days, or sometimes 56 is hard to remember. It's a kind of a little weird number. So 8 weeks, so every 8 weeks you're eligible to donate blood, or if you donate Power Reds, it's twice that long, so it's every 16 weeks. And we talked in before about different types of blood donations. We have, you know, our Power Reds, which is our double red cell blood donations, regular blood donations, it's just called a whole blood donation. We have platelet donations. If you need help finding where those sites are, what goes into that, definitely go to the website, redcrossblood.org. It talks about all the criteria that you need to meet. We also have a really great section of frequently asked questions. So, you know, if you have had COVID recently, can I still donate? How long do I have to wait before, you know, I can donate again? Go to the website. We have all those we have all that information there that you can find.
Redcrossblood.org. You'll when you go to give blood, you'll be asked a lot of questions. But one of the things that you've implemented over the last few years that is a big help is Rapid Pass.
Yeah, Rapid Pass is really helpful, especially if you're already have your blood donation appointment. If you go through the app, all of that stuff is right there in the app. The app is really, it's one of the most, one of my favorite things that I like about Red Cross is we have the right from the app, you can sign up to donate blood, you can find your local blood drives, you can do your rapid pass, which is your medical questionnaire, before you come in and donate. So you can answer all the 50 questions. You have to do it the same day as the blood drive. You can also have your donor ID card right in your app, and you can also follow your blood. So in times like this is, it's really interesting to see, well, where's my blood going to go? You know, is it going to go locally, or which hospital is going to receive the blood that I donate? You can follow that track and see where your blood goes. So it's one of my favorite things, the blood donation app.
Oh, I think that is one of the coolest things out there now that you can do, because, like you say, maybe it stays local, and that's great. Either way, I think you feel good about it, just knowing it's helping someone. But just to know where it does go and how it's helping people is fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's very infrequent that sometimes we just get in the habit of blood donation because it's a habit, you know, it's like going to the gym or going to the dentist, right? We make our appointment, you know, twice a year. We go every 56 days, and we just kind of get in the habit of blood donation, and we never really get to see the impact on the other side. And, you know, I just want to remind folks that there are patients on the other side who are waiting for your blood donation. So, you know, every time that you come and donate, you are making a difference to that person on the other end who's receiving that blood. You know, there's nothing more helpless, that helpless feeling when you have a loved one in the hospital and you feel like there's nothing you can do, and to know that there's still blood coming, that there's a stranger, there's somebody out there who you don't even know, but they found it in their heart to take the time to come and make that blood donation. It just makes you feel so much better about the world and about, you know, everything that's going on.
And when you are on the receiving end, I know that in my case, or my family, when my son needed a blood transfusion, and just to see what it did. And at that moment, we just said, we're going to give blood and, you know, give back, because somebody really has helped our son, somebody that we don't know. But the fact that they went and gave blood, they helped. I mean, he was just white, and you could just see the color coming back into his face as the blood transfusion was taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that I hear from our nurses and our doctors and folks that are there. You know, when they get that blood transfusion, I mean, you can kind of see it on their face that they are depleted and they are waiting and need that transfusion. And as soon as they get it, it's almost as if, you know, that spark comes back. They're kind of like blooming again. And even within that, you know, sickness, they have that moment where they can kind of be back with you again and talk with you again and spend time with you again. And, you know, to be able to give that to our families and to our patients, I mean, that means everything.
No, it is a great thing to be involved in. And, you know, whether, you know, we've outlined so many things, and before we get out of here this morning, we'll go through all of that. But you have made it very easy. And again, you go to redcrossblood.org. It will answer all your questions. And if it doesn't, you can send an email that you or someone will see. But it is safe to give blood, and it's safe to give blood in these days.
Absolutely, it's definitely safe. Our enhanced measures that we have at our blood drives are, we're, you know, following our social distancing guidelines. We're ensuring that when we set up our blood drives, we're making sure that they're 6 feet in between all of our donors. We're providing, you know, hand sanitizer for folks as they're coming, as they're going. We're, you know, increasing our glove usage. We're wearing masks. We're asking our donors to wear masks. So the setup is basically the same, but we have these enhanced safety measures in place to make sure that, you know, we're doing our due diligence to make sure that folks are staying safe and that you can have a safe place to come and donate blood. Definitely. That's definitely our top priority.
RedCrossBlood.org. Alexis Innes here with the American Red Cross Blood Services, the local office. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Alexis Innes with the American Red Cross with us this morning with the blood service end of the Red Cross. As far as what did you learn today, Alexis? I learned about the convalescent plasma program, and what an exciting concept in a way, really, that the people who have had COVID-19 can give back.
Absolutely. You know, if folks who have recovered are wanting to give back to that program to help others who are fighting COVID right now, they can definitely go to our website and fill out the patient request form or the donor request form at redcrossblood.org/plasma4COVID. Fill out that form, and then a representative will contact you back, and we can get you signed up to come in and donate some of your plasma to help other folks.
Yeah, especially for the people who just feel like I want to do something. Even if you can't do it through that program, just giving blood helps, because there continues to be great need, especially with elective surgeries likely coming back real soon.
Yes, absolutely. We have a plan to ramp back up, and without your help, And when I say you're, I'm talking to our donors to make sure that that happens. You know, definitely continue checking their website, redcrossblood.org, putting in your zip code, or even going through the app to continue to find. We're adding blood drives every single day. It is never a dull moment. You won't see the schedule stay stagnant for long. We're constantly adding locations for folks to come and join us at as we begin to ramp back up, as our system continues to need blood. So definitely continue to check our website, continue to check for new information using the app, putting in your zip code, and looking for locations, making your appointment. We want you to make sure that you make an appointment, because social distancing is probably something that's going to stay with us for a little while longer, even if as our, you know, folks start opening up their businesses and as, you know, things start getting, quote unquote, back to normal, we're probably going to be having that as a part of our, you know, safety plan going forward. So look for our locations. Please come out and join us. We still need your blood, and we're appreciative to everybody who has helped us out so far and continues to help us out in the future.
And if you miss your coworkers and want to have a blood drive with them, or if you've got family members that you haven't seen in a while, the Sleeves Up program is a great way.
Yeah, definitely start a virtual blood drive as a way to connect with your people. And it's very easy to go to our website. All the information is there. We give you all of the social media tools and things that you need to promote and talk about giving blood. So definitely join us and start your virtual blood drive there as well.
Well, like we said, you all have had to make a lot of changes and, changes, you know, by the hour at times, but the people have responded, and it's been great to see that the people are giving blood, but you try to recruit others and keep it going. Tell your family and friends how it's needed and how easy it is to give blood. Doesn't take that long.
And we still have cookies and juice as a thank you. They are individually wrapped. So, you know, at the very least, if you're not doing it for any other reason, do it for the cookie. So come on out, join us, have a treat. And thank you for your patience and your time.
RedCrossBlood.org is the website. Alexis Innes. Alexis, thank you so much. Boy, the Red Cross is doing great things, and I'll look forward to continuing to staying in touch and talking about this.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.